Shall we turn to 2 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles and chapter 7, we read from verse 12 up to verse 16. Second Chronicles chapter 7, we read from verse 12 up to verse 16. The Bible reads as follows. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name, read that again, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Verse 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. I'll just read one verse again, and this is verse 14, which is very common to us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We have been going through this series of prayer, and as it is our theme this year, we are being encouraged to pray. The reason why we are being encouraged to pray is simply because prayer is important in the life of the church and in the life of Christians. It is because we know that prayer is able to change things. It is only by being prayerful that we can be revived. It is only upon calling the name of the Lord that our church will become a better church. And as we are told in Chronicles and chapter 7, the background to this, we see that Solomon builds this temple of the Lord. In chapter 7, he dedicates the temple. And there is so much prayer, there is dedication, there is expectation that this will be a place where once again they will be able to pray to the living God. And as they have brought all the bronze, the sacrifices and everything, and it is almost appearing that they have done all that should be done and could be done, and they are home and dry, then we see the Lord now bringing these words to them in verse 14. In other words, yes, there is a building already. They have decorated it, and there are people to worship, and they have the zeal to do so. But the Lord says to them that they need to do something important if this revival is to come upon them. Now, obviously, we know that revival comes according to the way the Lord wills. We cannot cause a revival to come. All we need to do is to prepare ourselves to make sure that the environment is conducive should the Lord bless us with a revival. And this evening, I want us to talk about God's method of revival according to verse 14. God's method of revival according to verse 13. But also notice carefully that the Lord is addressing his people. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. This phrase is showing us that these are no strangers to the grace of God, in inverted commas. In other words, these are the saved. So these people are to receive a revival. And the implication here is that they are in a backslidden state, to put it in that way. A revival is to change things, to take them to a level and place of worship and standing where they'll be able to please the Lord. Clearly, in this particular portion, we know that these were not honoring God, because we know obviously from the background that they sinned. These people worshipped other idols. And so revival has to be God's method and God's way. Therefore, beloved brethren, if these people are called by his name, they are Christians, and it is possible for you and me and as a church to be in a backslidden state. Not necessarily that we are on top of sinning. We are committing sin day and night, but we have slackened. We are not performing as we ought to. In other words, the Lord is not pleased with our walk and our service and our worship. These verses, and verse 14 in particular, has a number of lessons for us. Are we praying for a revival? Obviously, it is top on the list of the prayer things and the items that we have been talking about as a church. We need to see a revival in the ministries. We need to see a revival in the men's ministry. We need to see a revival in the young people's ministry. We need to see a revival in the ladies' ministry, in all these areas and departments of the church. But sometimes people decide to commit themselves to meetings. Sometimes people desire to do what is right and they push themselves and they just change, probably because of psychological factors. And sometimes they just want to do it. And we think that is a revival. And maybe these, some of these people were mistaken. These people wanted to easily forget the sins they committed. It is like that person who doesn't say sorry for the wrongs they have done, and they want to continue with life as normal. It is like these people don't want to come to the Lord in repentance to talk about the real issues that caused them to be backslidden or to be found in this state. We therefore see, beloved brethren, that one, revival according to God's word, and as he addresses these people, revival demands requirements. These requirements that are demanded are quite clear in verse 14. And one requirement we see here is that there is a call to humility. He says in verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. There is a call to humility. It is a demand. It is a requirement. You cannot have a revival if you do not humble yourself. You cannot have a revival in your life, or even as a church, if we don't humble ourselves before God. Now, the word being used here, humble themselves, it has an idea of being under another. One thing that we are learning from here is that people must be under God. This is the kind of humility that we are talking about. It is to recognize God as Father, to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as Master, in other words. So this call to humility is to cause people to remember who the Lord is. And these are some of the things that have to happen before a revival comes. People must be drawn to a point where they are humble before God. When we humble ourselves before God, we acknowledge His Lordship, His Headship, we see that we are preparing ourselves to have worship, acceptable worship before Him, to allow Him to work in our lives and in our church. What we are saying is this, beloved brethren, that this call to humility is very similar to what we find in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 to 15. Joshua is told to remove his shoe. He falls to the ground. There is a kind of acceptance and recognition that I am under the Lord. Today in the church, it is very possible, and in our Christian lives, to be our own bosses, to live as we please, as we wish. But God says, these people who are called by His name must humble themselves. Notice at the beginning of verse 14, if my people will humble themselves. The word if is showing us that these things are to happen. We also find something similar in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12 regarding what is expected of us as God's creation, as Christians. Matthew 23 and verse 12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds these people, it is required of us to be humble before God. The other thing we see regarding the demands or the requirements of revival according to what is prescribed in verse 14 is that there is a call to humility, but there is also a call to prayer. It says, if they humble themselves and after that and pray. That's another ingredient. God's method for revival. And this is what we are doing as a church. We are praying to God. So many sermons have been delivered to us regarding prayer. I cannot add, but I just want to remind you of a number of things regarding prayer. We all know what it means to pray. We also know that prayer cannot be avoided if we are to receive anything good from the Lord. Because the Lord tells us that we ought to pray, and we have to pray in the right manner. And so, as the Lord is telling these people, they have to pray. Obviously, they have to pray in the right manner. We are told in James chapter 4 and verse 2 that these people were fighting. These people were killing each other. They were envious of other brethren. We see that these people did not have because they did not pray. And we see that others were praying amiss, just praying in a wrong way with wrong motives. This is not the kind of prayer that the Lord is saying that these people are to offer. Today, there are so many people who pray, and all they pray about is just selfish things. Nothing to do with humility. All about receiving things. All about them amassing something, property, name it. But the call to prayer is to make sure that these people have a communion with God in sincerity, praying to Him to develop that friendship with God again. If they are to come and talk to Him, the Lord will bless them again. Friends, for us to have this revival, it is important that we pray to the Lord. John chapter 14,
verse 13 to 14. It applies to us as well. There the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that once they pray in His name, they will receive that which they ask. And of course, this follows now the story that we are talking about. If you are praying with all sincerity, and you are not praying amiss, you are praying with the right motive, and according to God's will, you'll find that these things that we pray for will be given. Therefore, even as a church, and we want to pray for a revival, if we are praying with the right motive, why not? The Lord obviously will answer in His own time and revive this work. Sometimes we do pray for things and we do not realize that the Lord has answered. Remember 2-3 years ago, people praying for the young people and the salvation of young people. And last year we went to Chengelo and it was this overwhelming response from those who have sat under God's word for a long time and they were giving their lives to the Lord. Beloved friends and brethren, prayer is real. We must pray with expectation. Because there is an encouragement from God's word where the Lord says, if they do these things, He will actually bless them. There is a call to humility, there is a call to prayer, but there is also a call to seek God. He says, and pray and seek my face. Seeking my face is simply saying, seeking God. In other words, God is telling them that they need to be devoted to Him. There has to be this total devotion to the Lord. They must seek the Lord's face. The Lord's face. This means that they must desire the Lord's help. They must desire the Lord's presence. And sometimes I do wonder, even when I pray myself, say, am I really seeking the Lord's face? These are the ingredients that we find regarding revival. The Lord says that if these people are to do these things, then He will heal them. He will bless their land. This idea we see about seeking God's face is to show us that we need to come to a place where God is our priority. Where God is our number one. That is, nothing in life is more important, more precious, more needful to us than having God and all that He has to offer. There's a man by the name of Marcus who said, the true worth of a man is to be measured by the objects he pursues. The true worth of a man is to be measured by the objects he pursues. What is it that he seeks? Friends and brethren, seeking the Lord's face shows that we are Christians, shows that we have a relationship with Him. These people did not seek the Lord's face, and there was no relationship with Him. It is very clear from the history of Israel that this actually brought fatherly displeasure. The Lord was not happy. The Lord was not happy with these people because they turned away from Him. And I must also just try to apply a few things as we look at seeking God's face. Even as we think about Saturday's meeting, if we do not seek the Lord's face, we go the different direction. If we do not seek the Lord's face, we discuss these things in vain. It is all but intellectual sharing. It is all but secular thinking. Minus the Lord. And is that what we want to do? To apply all these things, our knowledge and everything, yet not seek the Lord's face? There is also, fourthly, a call to turn from sin. A call to turn from sin. Four things they need to do. They need to humble themselves, they need to pray, they need to seek the Lord's face, and they need to turn from their wicked ways. In other words, there is a call to repentance. And this is another ingredient on making the environment ready for God's revival upon His people and His church. People must repent of their sins. And in this case, people were sinning corporately. Of course, some of them were doing it individually, but we can see a people who have gone astray, a people who do not seek the Lord's face, a people who are actually worshiping idols. But there is a call to turn from sin. Beloved friends and brethren, each one of us has a sin somewhere which disturbs him, which disturbs her. Sometimes these sins are not public. And in one way or another, they affect our effectiveness in the church. In one way or another, they affect our devotions in the morning. And if truly the Lord has to work in a church, you don't want to have 200, 300, 400 people carrying these sins and they have said they don't want to turn away from the same. They need to turn from their wicked ways, the Lord says. It is self-explanatory. They need to stop their sin. In other words, it is not just repentance, turning from sin. We are also talking about working hard in this mortification of sin, in killing sin. You repent, you turn away from that. You don't want any form of appearance of the same. You have said sorry to God. You don't want to be in that barren state for a long time or anymore. So, we see that this is God's command. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7, we are called to repent. In Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 31, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. All these are reminding us something. We need to turn away from our sin. And I want to just emphasize that sometimes this sin is so silent in our lives. To others, it is hatred. Others, sexual immorality. Others, stealing. Others, all sorts of things. But they are to turn away from these things. We've been looking at the books in Revelation, and we are reminded the church at Ephesus were told in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1 to 7 that they needed to repent. It is still God's will for you and me, not just for the people in 1 Chronicles, not just for people in Revelation chapter 2. It is God's call to you and me that we repent of our sins. Yes, it is a year of prayer. If we do not turn from our sins, brethren, God will not answer our prayers. We also see in the second place that revival brings rewards. Revival brings rewards. If they will meet the requirements, then they will create an atmosphere in which they will experience some tremendous spiritual rewards from the hand of the Lord. And the Lord makes it very clear to them that if they do 1, 2, 3, 4 things we have talked about, then He will hear from heaven. He will forgive. He will heal.
And I must say that these are the rewards that we see when people engage themselves in this kind of prayer, submission to Him, that the Lord will bless them, that the Lord will prosper their work. We'll see that the rewards that we see in this particular verse, God will hear. He will hear them. That's what He says. Just here again, we are reminded that sin hinders prayer. And in Psalm 66 and verse 18, in your own time, you can refer to what to that you will see that indeed sin hinders prayer. But the reward which will come if these people change, they submit themselves to the Lord, is that God will hear them. It is quite interesting, brethren, that sometimes we turn a blind eye on some sin, unrepented sin, so to speak. We continue to pray. We continue to attend the prayer meeting. We continue to pray in the morning in our closets. But the Bible is clear. He will not hear us. But if we change, the reward that is coming here, we'll see that God will hear us. He will not turn His face away. We also see another thing that revival brings in terms of the rewards that we see, that apart from God hearing His people, God will help His people. Because the Bible says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. He will forgive them. He will help them. God promises to forgive our sins if we humble ourselves. Is it not what John says? If we confess our sins with our mouth, He is faithful and just to forgive us. God has promised in His word that those who will come to Him faithfully and with all sincerity, and they confess their sins, that He will forgive their sins. You and I sometimes do not forgive people. You and I sometimes will say, it is all right. You can, no, it's okay, it's okay. But life will never be the same. You can tell that because of that particular incident, the thing which happened, I am not forgiven. Because of that, 20 years, 30 years down the line, people will still refer to it. But with God, He offers forgiveness. He offers help. We see, once we humble ourselves, He will respond in forgiveness and restoration. And this is the help that we are talking about. Restoration, being brought back to where we are supposed to be. Like the prodigal son. The father received him. The father helped him. The father was willing to take him in. He showed a lot of love and care. God will help us if we come to Him in repentance. The other reward we see is that God will heal us. He says, I will heal their land. This great verse was given to Israel. They were warned that their sins would be answered by the Lord through a drought. This would devastate their land and their population. However, the Lord's promise to them is that repentance, once it happens, things will change. If they honor Him, if they will honor Him, He will honor them. If they will turn from their sins, He will bless them once again. And so, friends, not just Lusaka Baptist Church, but even the nation of Zambia, with some of the things that we probably are not happy with, talk about in the political arena or just in the public service or in the companies where we go or the public sector, name it,
where there is corruption, there is all these things. If those of us who are Christians will humble ourselves, we'll see that the Lord will bring this revival and He will use us even to reach out to these people. In other words, this revival is not just for the children of God. This revival will come in the land. And in our case today, I can say that even those who are not Christians somehow will benefit from this revival. Lastly, revival yields results. We're talking about rewards, but now results. We notice that the condition and the promise are given to God's people. We see that God will bring these results. This will happen. Genuine revival affects those revived and all those around them. The result will be seen. What about those of us who have read church history, those of us who have learned and read about the revival in Wales, the revival in the West, and we see that people benefited. The results were so visible. When God says He will do this, of course His promise is yea and amen, like we say, and definitely that is going to happen. If we as a people experience the true revival, maybe in our lives as individuals, or be it at church level, when God's power is seen in us, it will truly affect the rest of the people around us. I don't know about you. After reading about these things, I've been saying to myself, I would like to see this revival. I would like to see so many people coming to know the Lord. I would like to see myself being revived. I would like to see myself not struggling to go for a prayer meeting. I would like to see myself being faithful in giving. I would like to see myself asking where I can serve in the church. I want to be on fire, as it were, for the Lord. If truly this revival comes, results will be seen. In conclusion, we can say that revival is a real possibility. It is not just a myth that we can talk about. It is not just something that happened in the 16th century, 17th, and maybe in the 15th century. It is something that is able to occur even today. If the Lord is not able to grant this revival, then our prayers are meaningless. Our prayers are in vain. But we know and are sure that today, revival is a possibility. Revival should not just be according to what people may think, that others have grown to a certain stage, they have passed a certain stage where they ought to be active. Revival will come to all the people. It's the nation that is going to be affected by this revival, regardless of their age, regardless of their gender, regardless of their background. For as long as this revival comes, it will affect those who are there. If revival is a possibility, then we must be looking forward to it. While genuine revival is always sovereign in origin, we have this obligation, so to speak, or command, that whenever we find ourselves in such a state and situation, that we observe what the Lord is commanding us to do. If everything hinges at this particular point in time and this passage, everything hinges on being what the Lord wants His people to be. Also, we see that although the Lord is saying if, He is able to come and change people's hearts, even if they don't do these things. But the Lord is sovereign. And also, we are told, and I'm reminded of the words of Dr. Peter Masters, who always said, when God is dealing with us, He does not disengage our minds. He wants us to be able to relate with Him, to know what is happening, to show some love, to show some devotion. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. We need to be in this place to be expectant to receive from Him. Are you His people? I have no doubt you are. But what is our state? And I must say again, we can be backslidden. Like Pastor was preaching in the evening, I still come to church. I can be backslidden. I stand and preach. I pull theological terms here and there and say these things eloquently. But what is our state before God? Are we like these people? The goodness is that if at all this is a proper description of us, the Lord is saying that we need to humble ourselves. Sometimes we do not humble ourselves because we think we have everything we need, and so forth and so on. So are we like these people? Are we looking for a revival? Are we willing to be humble before Him, to pray, to seek His face and turn away from our sins? These are the things that God is saying we should do. Revival is a possibility.
Amen.